right. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad you guys are here. And we'll get the lights back up where you can see around you and whatnot. Glad you're here. And I know that God has, I hope God has even more for you this morning after that. That was just a beautiful song. So our ushers are going to come around with our offering baskets. As they come, let me just remind you that offering is for us. God does not need your money, I assure you. He owns it all. Giving is for us. Our money, our wallets, and our hearts are tied together. And where our hearts go, our money go. Where our money goes, our heart goes. And so this is the moment where you get to give and break the control of the fear of money in your life. So giving is for you so that you are able to release that and that need to control the cash in your life and separate that. You can't serve God and money. It just doesn't work. So that's what this is all about. So a couple of announcements here. Small groups. You saw the sign-up tables out here. Small groups are critical, core. This is our primary discipleship growth engine here in the church. So I want to encourage you, push you to be in one, because it's in the small groups, a place for you to do several things, where you to take the Sunday message and really grind it into your life. It's a place for you can find some loving and some care, some accountability, all of those kinds of things. But I read a quote this week from somebody who, it was a great quote from this psychologist, I forget which one it was, but in it he said this. He said that nothing ages you faster, okay? Nothing ages you faster than to go through a major life event alone, okay? And it doesn't matter whether it's a good event, like a big wedding, or a hard event, you know, like a job loss. You know, for the most part, we don't know when those events are going to come. They just come. And there's nothing more important than having a support network of friends that you've connected with to walk with you through whatever that event would be, or to walk with them through that. And so let me just encourage you, take advantage of the of small groups. There's places out there for you, and there's groups that are looking and need you to be a part of that. Second announcement I want to highlight for you is tonight, 6 o'clock, we're going to have our annual Trinity meeting. We do this at least once a year, sometimes twice. It's kind of the business thing. We'll talk numbers and whatnot, but we'll also talk about where we're headed. We're going to look back and then look forward, things that are coming. We'll have a little light dinner from 6 to 6:30. We'll have a meeting from 6:30 to 7, and we'll keep it tight so you're not running late on that thing. But this is always an exciting time just to come and see what God is doing in and through the church, so take advantage of that. Brian. We really hoped that Bluebell would start delivering to Houston yesterday, and we were going to go and get it for tonight's meeting, but it starts tomorrow. And so, thanks for bringing that wound up one more time, Brian. I just about had recovered, but we figured we'd pack the house if we did that. But anyway, and then look, there's some stuff in here for men and women. You know who you are. Figure out which one you need and sign up for that. Or if not, we'll have some conversation. 10 years ago, right? 10 years ago, we all know, because we were here. It was Katrina. And Katrina, it was a life-changing event for this state and for this community and for this church. I will never forget the day after the levee broke and we realized things were changing. And on the night the levee broke, I sent an email out to the church that says, we're going to have a meeting tomorrow. I forget what it was, 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And in the email, I basically said, we have no idea what we're going to do, but we're going to do something. And if you want to be a part of it, be here, whatever that time was, let's say 10. And I showed up, and there were like 65 people sitting in the room. And our plan was to turn this room into like an overnight thing for the next 4 or 5 days till Sunday, and then return it. And we get a call in the middle of the meeting because Tim had gone down to a meeting of the Red Cross and whatnot. And they basically said, if you're not in it for the long haul, don't get in. And in a turn of the moment, we decided that we had these brand new buildings. They were brand new in that day. They'd been open 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And our brand new kids' building, we're so excited, unleashed. And we decided on the spur of the moment to take this, what as you're looking at it now, on the left side, and turn it into 6 apartment units for 6 to 8 weeks for people to live in. And then I just said, I don't know how we're going to do it. And I said, get in groups and figure it out. And it was like I kicked an ant bed. People screaming all over town, showing up with mattresses. This handful of guys built showers on the outside of this thing. It was wild. There were twins born, not in there, but through in the folks, you know. There was a wedding that took place. We had birthday celebrations. At the same time, we were had a whole other team that were helping folks relocate all over the country. It was one of the greatest, hardest season in the life of this church. You just see the heart of the church. People arranging, guys staying up here all night long for security. Guys, it was wild. Small groups bringing food every day to feed these folks. It was powerful. Anyway, we pulled together a handful of slides and got some quotes from people. It's just kind of a reminder of what God did in our midst. So take a look at this, if you would. It was a great season. Every time I look at that, I think those just don't do justice to what God did here. Anyway, let's pray. Why don't you ask God to speak to you this morning? Father, you are good, and I thank you for that. I thank you that you do speak to us. So this morning, as we open up our hearts, speak and have your way in our lives. In your name we pray, amen and amen. John Wooden is probably agreed upon the greatest basketball coach this country has ever seen. He was a college coach. He coached the UCLA Bruins for a number of years. And in his, they called him the Wizard of Westwood. But while he was there, they won 7 national championships in a row in basketball. Okay, and then out of 12 years, they won 10. They were an astounding, they were this dynasty. No one has touched that in any sport, and certainly not in college basketball, and he's been long retired. But it's fascinating because Wooden was a brilliant coach and a brilliant man, a motivator, tactician, and whatnot. But part of what he did was this. I don't know if you've heard this story, but on the first day of practice every year, on the first day when they came together as a team to practice, he brought the team together, sat them in a circle, had them take their shoes and socks off, and then spent time training them on how the appropriate way to put on your socks and your shoes. Now, his logic was, if you don't do it right, you're going to get blisters, and it could cost us a game or a moment or something like that. But I want you to imagine who's sitting in this circle, okay? Any freshmen sitting in that circle, they were the stud of their team, right? These are the guys that were the best at their school, going to a championship team. These are the guys that everybody looked at, the big men on campus. They were highly recruited by every college in town if they went to in the country, if they went to UCLA. And so here's this stud showing up, and the first thing he hears for practice is not how to defense shoot, it's how to put his shoes and socks on. And if you're a fourth-year senior, and you've won 3 national championships in a row, and you show up to practice, the first thing you hear again is how to put your shoes and your socks on. The most fundamental and basic thing. But Coach Wooden knew what we so often forget is that we drift. That it's the little things. It's the foundational things. It's the basic things that we need to make sure are right, or the rest of it doesn't matter. And so this morning, what we're going to do is have that same kind of basic how to put your shoes and socks on kind of talk. You know, for many of you, you're going to hear this and going, I know all of this, I know this, but and for some of you, this is going to be brand new, but it doesn't matter if it's new or old, we still need it because it's basic. Now, I had this great idea. I had this great idea for today's message. And so, as I often do, I floated it by my wife. I said, what do you think about this idea? It's this great idea. And I said, what do you think? Because my idea was, hey, why don't we all take our shoes off? So that for the entire message, we don't have our shoes on, right? And then every time you feel weird about it, you can't go, oh, yeah, this is important, right? And she told me that was stupid. So you don't have to do that. And so tell me that was a bad idea, but I'm still going to mention it to you because you'll go home, most of you, and go, God, that was a great idea. We should have done that. I'm sorry we didn't do that. But that's, you know, nonetheless. All right? So this morning, basic message, why are we here? Why are you here? To a degree, why are you here in this place, in this church, and why are we here? Why is Trinity here? Why is this church here? And why is the overall church here? I mean, why, kind of that basic, you know, kind of person, you know, thing we grapple with. Why am I here? Why are you here? What does God want for you? What is his purpose for you in being here? And see, there's a lot of confusion out there about why the church is around, right? Sometimes we think we're the moral conscience of the world, the community, the country. Sometimes we think we're a political activist group. Sometimes we think we're a social club. There's a lot of confusion over this. Sometimes we think we're a self-help group. Why are we here? Why are you here? As a Christian follower of Jesus, why are you here? If you aren't clear on your purpose, if you aren't clear on why you're here, you're going to wander aimlessly. And so this morning, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Now, we're going to start with what I think of as Jesus' universal purpose for the church. Okay, this, what we're going to look at first, is true for every biblical, quality, valuable church in our world. If it is a good church, a solid church, if it's a church that's following Jesus, if it's a church that buys the scriptures, this is their purpose. They may say it differently, but if you find a church that this isn't their purpose, move on. Move on. And look, there are great churches all over town who follow this same purpose. But the overarching purpose is this. We express it this way. Transforming seekers into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ and into an authentic family of God. That's the big purpose. Our purpose is to take people that don't know Jesus, introduce them to Jesus, help them grow up into Jesus, into maturity, and then give them a place to live out their faith and belong in a loving community that loves within and loves without. It's not real complicated, right? Our target are the seekers. That's how we think about them. Seekers, it's a nice, friendly person. We could have said pagans. You know, we could have said the lost. We could have said the hell-bound sinners. We're going to use all kinds of phrases, right? But Seekers has a nice warm feel to it. But the other thing it has to it is the idea, unless you're thinking Harry Potter, it's the idea of someone who's looking for something. It's someone who has found this hole in their soul. There are these questions that they can't answer. They can't figure out what their life is all about. And so they're on the look. Like what am I doing? And they have questions they're grappling with. You know, and so our job is to find those people that God is stirring up. And they're all around us. They're all over your workplace. They're all in your family. Those people whose life is coming a little ragged around the edges. And they're trying to figure life out. And they don't have all the answers. And so God is stirring up their hearts, creating a hunger in them, a thirst in them. That's what Jesus says. And so our target are the seekers. Our goal is to turn them into followers and into family, right? And all of this flows out of the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Now, we could have gone to every gospel has a commission, you know, but we call this one the Great Commission because it's the best. It's the fullest. It has more. And so if you got your Bible, turn over to Matthew 28, or it's on your outline today, or it's going to be on the screen. You know, we're a full-service provider of biblical passages today. But here's the Great Commission, okay? It all starts verse 18. Then Jesus came to them, and they're out in Galilee on a mountaintop. Jesus meets with his disciples. This is his final meeting recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. These are his final words in the Gospel of Matthew. This is what he leaves us with. And he shows up and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. What's he saying? He says, I'm the boss. He's making an incredibly audacious claim. What he's saying is that God has given him all authority, not power, authority. He's the Lord of all, Lord over heaven, Lord over earth. And so when he speaks, he's not just saying, well, I've got some thoughts for you. What he's saying is, I'm the Lord of all of it. I'm the Lord of all lords. I'm the King of all kings. I'm the God of all gods. And here's your job. Here's your marching orders. So verse 19, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that promise at the end is don't doubt, don't worry, I'm going to get you through this thing. But his command, when you get right down to it, the great commission, the marching orders, is to make disciples. The way we phrase it, I phrase it in the overall purpose, it's to make followers of Jesus Christ. A disciple is simply a follower. In the first century, if there was a rabbi and he was and they wandered around teaching, and he would have disciples, he would have a group of men that would follow him, a group of folks that would follow wherever he went, listening to him, learning from him. They were his apprentices. And so a follower is an apprentice of Jesus. It's someone who is in the school of following Jesus. It's someone who is committed to Jesus. So what we're not trying to make moral people. We're trying to make people who are committed to following Jesus. God's rescue plan is to take the lost, he came to seek and to save the lost, is to help the lost meet Jesus and then begin to follow him. And he gives us some thoughts on how to make this happen. He talked about reaching all of the nations. We have got to go. It's an outward reaching thing. That part of, if we're going to make disciples, we need to keep reaching out and bringing new people into the fold. We need to keep reaching out to the lost. We need to keep expanding this thing from where it started in Jerusalem until it truly envelops the entire world. Jesus' plan, which is kind of goofy in my mind, started with 500, 1,000 people on a hillside where he said, you're the plan, you, average, everyday, regular people, go out and make disciples. And so your purpose, if you're a follower of Jesus, right, your purpose, primary, the job he gave you, is to pass it on and make more disciples. Your job is wherever you go. That's kind of the way it's written. Wherever you go. You go to work, make disciples. You go home, you make disciples. You go over, you go travel the country, make disciples. Wherever you are, make disciples until all nations are filled with followers of Jesus. And so wherever you go, that's how you do it. You baptize them. The idea of baptizing is that you're connecting them with a body of believers. You are folding them in, identifying them as Christians who belong. You're teaching them, he says, you teach them to obey everything I commanded you. So there's a growth element to this thing that we need to help people grow up. So we're teaching. And you guys have got cool little outlines in your bulletin that you can fill out. The goal is not for you to fill out the gaps and go home and put it in a little binder and go, I have a whole mess of outlines. The goal is that you fill out the outline, which we like, so that you'll then put it into practice. It's not enough to know. You have to do. Right? It's not enough to believe. You got to do. And so there's a big difference between what we believe and what we do. And Jesus says, they'll know there's a part of this obedience to him. Following him in obedience is critical for us, okay? So he says, look, our job one is to take the seekers, transform them into fully devoted followers of Jesus and into an authentic family of God. Look at Matthew chapter 22, the great commandment. See the great commission, great commandment? And in that, Jesus answers, and he's talking to some guys. He says, look, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment is simply love, right? Love vertical, love the Lord, love horizontal, love people. All right, it's an authentic family of God where we love one another, and we let that love expand out. It starts first by loving God honoring God, worshiping God, making Him number one in our lives, putting Him on the throne of our lives. He's central to everything we do. He is truly the Lord of our lives, so that everything He has say over life. It's what He said, all authority I have, and we say, you have authority over my life. Okay, and then there's the loving and serving those around me. It's when they ask Jesus, He says, love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Well, it's the person who has a need. It's anyone that God brings across my path that I can meet their need. And so the universal task of every church, including this one, and every Christian, including us, is to transform seekers into fully devoted followers of Christ and into an authentic family of God. That's our purpose. That's why you're here. That's why Jesus has you here, is so that you can be involved in this giving it away to others, right? Right? Now, so that's the overarching universal. Let's talk a minute about how do we understand the unique purpose that Jesus has for Trinity Bible Church? You know, as we've grappled through this over the years and tried to refine this to a degree. Now look, as I say this, let's be really clear. There are churches all over the place. I mean, this town is full of churches, right? Good churches, bad churches, good churches. A little bit of both, as it is in every town. But every church, and if you've churched shopped or church hopped, and those are not the same thing, right? Church shopping is you're trying to find a place for you to plug in and land. Church hopping is a place of no commitment, bouncing all over town, right? And let me just tell you, church hopping, bad idea. Church shopping, good idea, so that you can land. But you need to land. You need to plan. Okay, I'm about to start getting all added up, so let me just stop right there. Because you really need a place to live life together. The commitment to a body is not for the body's benefit. It's for yours. It's the difference between dating around and having the security of marriage. There's a value and a commitment for you. And so, enough of that. But anyway, maybe not enough of that. Enough of that? Okay. If not, I got more. All right. So look, all kinds of churches. Some are loud, some are quiet, right? Some are celebrative, meditative, all this kind of stuff. There's churches where everybody is wrong, and there's churches where everybody is right. So who are we? Because we're who we are, right? Our purpose, and you read it on the wall, it's everywhere. All right. Inviting you to listen to Jesus' call and answer with your life. That's how we see this thing. Our job as a church, what we invite you into is we really believe that Jesus has a purpose for each and every one of you, that He has shaped you, that He has molded you, He has brought you here for a time and a place, at a moment in time, so that He can use you. God is doing this great work in our world, and He's inviting you to be a part of it. So Jesus has a call on each and every one of our lives. So the invitation changes from time to time. Sometimes we say, come and see, and sometimes we say, come and listen, and sometimes we say, come and follow, and sometimes we say, come and die, but it's always an invitation to hear Jesus' call. And when Jesus calls, He's always going to call you. He's going to call you through His Word, or He's going to call you through His Spirit, the promptings within. He's going to call you through His people, where the body of Christ says something into your life that you need to listen to. He's going to call you through your experiences, but Jesus is always going to be calling you to more, to follow Him in some way. And so when Jesus' call comes into your life, it's going to be a call to really, I think, one of three things. I think first, He's going to call you to follow Him. I love the song that Jennifer sang, because what she's telling us is that God has been calling her to trust Him, to fall into His arms and trust Him. And there are going to be times when God's call into your life is to say, just trust me. Draw near to me. Are you weary and brokenhearted? Draw near. Come to me. Draw near. You need to just pour out your heart in prayer. Come to me. And so sometimes what Jesus has called is just come to Him. Sometimes His call is real different. It's to go. You see this all through the Gospels. We call the guys together and then send them out. So sometimes God's call in your life is going to be this adventure that he calls you into to go make a difference here. Go love this person there. It's not about you. It's about them. And God is going to send you out in one form or another. Now, it may be across the street. It may be across the room. It may be across town. It may be across the globe. Who knows? It could be cross-cultural. It could be easy. It could be hard. Usually it's hard. Usually it's terrifying. But he calls you into this thing because he is expanding his world through you. And those people have needs that he intends to meet through you. And so sometimes he calls you to himself. Sometimes he calls you out. And sometimes he calls you because he wants to transform you. It is a call to be different. It's a call to holiness. Remember that story of the woman caught in adultery? Fascinating story, right? She gets caught in adultery, which, by the way, implies another guy, but they don't bring the guy. They only drag the woman in. The implication of the story is they bring her in and throw her naked at Jesus' feet because this is a stonable offense. They can execute her for the sin. So they're all holding rocks. They're trying to expose Jesus, and they say, you know, what do you have to say to the situation? And he dawdled, does a little scribbling in the dirt and stands up, says a few things, and basically says, okay, any of you are without sin, you feel free to go ahead and lob that first stone. And they all have to drop their rocks and walk away, right? But there's this great moment when he looks to the woman and he says, where are your accusers? And there are none. And he says, I don't accuse you either. You know what he's saying? I love you as you are. And then he says, go and sin no more. Jesus is, he takes you exactly as you are, warts and all, but he never leaves you as you are. And he's going to keep reworking you and reworking you until you look like Jesus. And so just be aware of that. And so when Jesus calls, a lot of times the call is for transformation. You know that anger thing you got going on? You know this arrogance thing you got going on over here? You know this selfish deal where you're hoarding it up all about you? You know this impatience thing you got going on? And God goes to work, and he begins to transform you little by little by little by little. And so really what we believe is that Jesus has a call for every one of us, and that call requires you to answer with your life. It's not an answer with your words. Your words are cheap. Yes. No. It's take up your cross and follow me. It's die to myself and follow him, right? It's Jennifer's wonderful song. I find my life when I lose my life. And so the invitation is always to leave something of who you are and to follow him. It always is a death to self. It always is. It's always, and that's why in all of the Gospels, they have in one form or another where Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. If you want to save your life, you have to lose your life. And so in order to answer Jesus' call, it costs your life. And so we are always inviting you to leave this part of your life and to begin to follow him. And how many times as we went through Luke last year, did Jesus make that same call? Follow me. Make no mistake. Jesus will take you just like you are, but he will never leave you like you are because he loves you too much, and he's going to keep working until you look like him because that is the best place for you to be. So that's kind of the big purpose, the overall purpose, that's kind of the way we express the Trinity purpose, the way we do that. And then a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we drew up this diagram that's in your bulletin, and we call it our strategy and whatnot. It's a little loop-de-loop deal here. And this helped us understand how we're going to do this thing. How do you and I fulfill this purpose, right? And how do we fulfill this as a church? And so it's, you know, it all starts in my mind. I'm going to walk you through this. For some of you, you've seen this. Some of you haven't. You know, it all starts in the middle, in my mind, with this personal relationship with Jesus. It's what we just described. It's you deciding to follow Jesus with your life. It's you answering with your life. And our goal is to help you follow Jesus because we believe that as you follow Jesus, that bleeds out and changes everything else. Now, the scriptures are really strong on the we-ness of the church, but the we-ness is always made up of the me-ness. We starts with us. And so you have that relationship with God, this ongoing, you are a follower of Jesus. Now, how do we help you do this? The first place anybody gets connected with the church is through Sunday morning, right? And we thought about having really clever titles for what each of these are, but then you have to explain them, so we just tell you what they are, right? Because I'm not that clever. But it all starts on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is where we come together to honor and worship God. It's this vertical aspect where we come together to celebrate. We come together so that you can hear the Word of God. We come together so that I can, generally me, someone else usually, we open up the Word of God, somebody else sometimes, we open the Word of God and say, this is what God has to say for you. You can know God through His Word in this way. And so it's an incredibly valuable moment. And I was thinking this week, I was trying to think, okay, why is Sunday morning a big deal? Why is the corporate worship thing a big deal? Why is it that all through the New Testament, Jesus keeps saying, gather together? Why is that? And it dawned on me, every religious expression around the world throughout all of time has had a corporate thing. They've had this deal where they come together to worship. So why is that? And what I think it is this, is I think there is something mysterious. It's not tangible. It is mysterious that happens when we are gathered together. That the Jesus in you connecting to the Jesus in me, there's something about us coming together to worship God together. How many of you folks like to go to movies by yourself? I know there's a handful, but most of us, a few do. Most of us don't. Why? Because there's no one to lean over here and go, hey, did you see that? How many of you want to go to the big stadium and watch the game by yourself? Now, other than the fact that the traffic's a whole lot better and you get in and out of the bathroom and get a drink, that's great. But none of us really want to, most of us don't even want to watch the game at home by ourselves, because you've got to have that person you can lean over and go, high five with, right? And most people don't want to go eat out by themselves. And yet we have this idea that I can do my Jesus following alone. But we can't. There is something powerful that happens to you when you sit in this room with hundreds of other people that love Jesus, and together we sing and say, Jesus, we love you. Because it strengthens you. And that's why Jesus says, come together. So there's this mystery of gathering. And before I leave that, let me just say this. Let me just bring one little challenge in here. I am very grateful for technology and terrified of it. We're in a blessed situation where I can speak on Sunday morning and some magic is going on back here in the booth and they're recording my voice. I'm going to stick it on our internet and you can go to it. So if you're out at the lake or playing soccer or whatever it is, you can listen to it. So if you miss Sunday morning, you got to get ready for small group. Well, you can listen to it. And that's a wonderful gift. The downside of that is that if we're not careful, we begin to think, hey, I can just stay home. I can listen to Dennis in the car, which, look, I'm all a big fan. You know, get the sales way up. You know, it's always good. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. You're missing this mystery. And I think there's something God wants to do in you here that He cannot do with you riding in your car. Whether it's the singing, the relationships, there's something that's amiss. So you need to be here, and may I just say, on time as a concept? Just a thought. We start at 10:45. And I know for some of you are thinking, well, the message is the game, and the rest of it's all pregame. Who cares? But you're missing that God wants to do something in you through the music, whether you sing or not. Because you know all the music, it's all God, it's all word-based. It's all communicating the truth of God through song that touches and gets in a different way than my words do. You need this. And so it all starts on Sunday morning. All right, now I've preached. I've gotten lathered up twice this morning. I don't think I'm done. All right, now. So then from here, you move into a small group. Why? Because this is big. This is impersonal. This is you when, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Oh, good. Now, hey, how are you? And we do. We see, hey, how are you doing? And what do we say? Fine. And how many of you are fine? No, you're all lying, right? But you're not going to tell somebody that standing by the coffee bar. Because you're going to go, do you really want to know? And they're going to say no. And you're going to move on, right? But small group is where you are known and know, right? It's the place you can come in. And when they say, how are you doing? You say, let me tell you what happened this week. And they care. It's the place where the Word of God is ground on in the context of a safe relationship. It's the safe relationship that is based upon the truth of God's Word. And in that, you need that. And so small group is because we go from big to small. We go from that place, that group of people that we live life with day after day, week after week, so that we have a group of friends that we can call at 2 in the morning saying, I need your help now, right? And so, again, our goal is to get at least 70% of you guys in small groups. So sign up. Did I mention that? We have sign up. But Sunday morning in small group is primarily input, okay? It, for the most part, it's about me. It's about you. It's bringing it into me. And so the problem is if it's all about me, and I don't give anything away, I stagnate. You know, we've illustrated it this way for years, that I learn a little bit, I grow a little bit, I get a little bit more, and I grow a little bit more, and I grow a little bit more, and I learn a little bit more, and I get a little, and all of a sudden you're standing like this, and you're stuck. And that's not God's design. The design is learn a little bit, give a little bit. Learn a little bit, give a little bit. And that's why the third piece of this kind of this loop thing here is it's a serving opportunity. It's volunteering. It's giving my life away, right? It said, I get to give. I am blessed to be a blessing, like we said last week, all right? And the reason some of you guys are miserable at church, and you're going like, I'm so bored, I get blah, blah, and maybe it's because I'm boring, I don't know. But for many of you is that it's been receiving, 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 learning, 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 and you're not giving anything away. You can only soak a sponge so much with water, and it cannot take any more. If you don't squeeze it out by giving it away and using it and serving, there's no room for God to do anything new in your life. And after a while, you begin to go, well, I think God's kind of boring, and the church is kind of boring. It's not doing anything good for me. Why bother? It's because you're sitting and soaking and souring. You're soaking it up week after week, and because you're not giving it away, you're kind of going, then you start nitpicking church. Yeah. But it's when you give it, and then you need it, and you show up, kind of going, I'm so thirsty. Thank you for filling me back up. You need to fill up and get rid of. Fill up, and if you just leave it full, you're going to sour and stagnate. So you've got to give it away. And then our thinking, this serving is mostly internal body. It's within the one another's of the church. You're giving yourself away. God has shaped you and given you gifts for the benefit of the church. And so that is giving that thing away. And then out of that flows mission opportunity. It's moving from us to them, if you will. Right? It's from inside to outside. This is the reaching, the going, compartmentalized part of this piece. It's that I need to not just give myself to the church to keep growing the church. And quite frankly, there's an awful lot of churches. Their entire energy is built towards growing the mechanism of the church. But that doesn't work well because you must be reaching beyond these four walls. There's a cross-cultural element of across the street or across the room where you reach out. And so the idea here, it could be going on a mission trip like the guy's down in Honduras now, or it could be building a relationship with the guy in the cubicle next to you who's going through a struggle with his marriage and helping him come to know Jesus in the midst of it. But it's this going piece of this thing where we are giving our lives away. And so what I want you to see is the reason we've drawn it up this way is there's this rhythm. There's a rhythm to life. It's not a one-way deal. There are times you need to be on the receiving end and times you need to be on the giving end. There's times you need the big and there's times you need the small. There's times you need to serve inside the body and times you need to serve outside the body. And you need to have this rhythm of giving my life away and refilling my life and giving my life away and refilling my life and being big and corporate and loud and being small and personal and intimate. And you must have that rhythm because you can't really follow Jesus well without all of these things, right? And so my challenge for you guys now is this, is which piece of this is Jesus calling you to improve over the next season of your life? See, my gut on this thing is that Jesus is speaking this morning. It's not just me up here doing my thing. I think Jesus is at work. And my sense is that we go through these four or five things that somewhere along the way, your heart beat just a little faster. That there was a place where you heard Jesus say in words of somewhat similar to this, it says, you need this. You need to add this into your life. This place is weak in your life. And I don't know which one it was, but in that moment is Jesus calling you and inviting you into something deeper, calling you farther up and higher in. He's calling you in some way to a richer life. And if you'll say yes, and step into that with courage, which is what it's going to take, I will promise you that Jesus will meet you in a way that you never imagined. And so honestly, just you and the Lord, which part of this do you need to step into in the coming, you know, in this next run? Well, it's the beginning of the school year. It's a great time to make that decision. You know, whether it's small groups or mission or serving or our worship, whatever it may be, or maybe it's just simply the decision that I'm going to follow Jesus with my life and let him be Lord of all and start leaning into that. What do you need to do? Because I will tell you now that comfort and convenience is the enemy of your soul. If there's not some stretch in your life, then you begin a slow erosion and deterioration. Jesus never calls you to complacency. He calls you to follow. And that requires saying yes. So why don't you take just a minute where you are, just you and the Lord, and look at this thing over on your hand or on the screen, and then talk to him about whatever decisions you need to make next. Okay? Jesus, I thank you that you're never done, that you love us so much that we never arrive until we get to heaven. And so, Lord, thank you for the challenge, the call, the invitation, the push, that thank you that it's all about movement, process. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, as we fearfully at times say yes, that you would hear it and then move us forward. Grow us up into your image, Lord. Thank you for this day, for this church, and for these folks. In your name, amen.
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 You stand up with us?
Team's going to head on up here. They'll be available to pray. Come on up and let them do that for you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Later, buddy.